Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. That is kind of the theme for today. Today we have the opportunity to actually hear a word about what God is doing in our lives from two powerful women in the Lord. Katrina and Lynette are both going to share before us. And it is my prayer that God will act upon us as they do. I'm going to bring Katrina up first. You are good to go here, my friend. Katrina and her husband Andrew have been members here now for a few months. They've been coming here for about a year and a half, right? About a year and a half. So let's hear what the Lord says through Katrina.
I'm just going to take a moment to pray, so if you'd pray with me, that would be great. Dear Heavenly Father, you are a big, mighty God, and I pray that in all that I say is honorable to you and speaks the truth, and whatever it is that I have to say is of your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Mike asked if I would consider sharing how God has been working in my life during church, and instantly anxiety raised up, and he saw that because he was like, I see some anxiety. And so we agreed to pray on that. That was around 10:45 a.m. on a Saturday. At 12:43 p.m. on that same day, I texted him back, and I said, "Dude, God is moving." I had just met up with a friend. I had shared some details in the text about what was going on in our conversation, details of how our conversation went with my friend, and I had shared with her what was happening in my life and how God was moving. It was spontaneous. I hadn't planned that. I didn't know this was going to happen, and that led her to share what was happening in her life. That led to me helping her with Fruit to Root and Root to Fruit, and she was able to identify the lies that she was believing about God and the idols that she had in her life. And I sat there thinking, oh, like these moments I don't feel like really ever happened to me. But it was powerful and it was impactful, and the conversation was completely what God had wanted to happen that morning. And I left there thinking, if this is what happened, and Mike is just now asking me to share how God's moving in my life, like, how can I not? And so I wrote back and I said, I think it's a yes for June 9th. So let me give you some history. November 3rd, 1995, so about 20, almost 24 years ago, a friend of mine named Amy had been going to a church, and we were on the phone. It was after school, and she was leading me through some scriptures in the Bible, and I made an out loud commitment asking Jesus to forgive my sins and accept him into my heart. And every day since then, I had thought about God and my relationship with him. And for years, I thought of myself as a Christian. I did Christian things. I went to church. I went to Bible studies. I occasionally read the Bible. I prayed for people here and there. But for most of my Christian life, I felt a disconnect. I viewed my relationship with God to be separate. I had my work friends. I had church family. I had my own family. And then I had God. I saw it as separate. Life happened. Difficult experiences didn't necessarily push me away from God, but I wasn't drawn closer either. I believed that God was part of everything, but I didn't necessarily fully believe that he was in control. Life continued to happen. Andrew and I married. I poured myself into work, spending more time at work than other things, including self-care and my relationship with Jesus. However, I felt blessed to be part of an organization that had been an approved site for something called the National Health Service Corps. And by committing full time, all my $75,000 of school debt had been paid off. And I had seen that as a barrier to things like building our family. My student loans had felt burdensome, and I couldn't envision having a family while we were trying to pay that off on social worker salaries. I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize the commitment I made to pay those off. So after 3 years, it was over, and we decided it was time to build our family. Not getting my own medical needs met correctly, God led me to research a specialist, and I met with this specialist in 2015. So here we were, working on stuff with the goal of having a baby. And after disappointing news from one appointment to another, with hope ebbing and flowing, this time I felt punished. I just want to make sure this Kleenex. Okay. Punished for not being good enough, for not doing enough, and anger for us not having answers to fixing the problems that we had. And pain, unbelievable pain. Thoughts were creeping in about what life would be like without kids, a desire that I believe that God had put there, but it didn't make sense that he would take it away. See, the relationship I had with God was a cycle of, I'm sorry, God, fill in the blank for whatever I did. Please forgive me, God, I will do better, God. And I believed he was chronically disappointed in me more than he was proud of me. A relationship mirrored with the relationship I had with my own parents, particularly my mom. Throughout the last 10 years, thoughts would pop into my head that there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more to me feeling separate, and there's got to be more that he has for me, but I didn't know what that was. There were just little thoughts that would come in and out. A situation would happen, and I would feel pretty sure that the Holy Spirit was nagging me to say something truthful, like speak into that someone's life, but I didn't feel good enough to do that. You know, again, I thought I was a Christian, but I still had this separation from God. But seeds were being planted, you see. Seeds that were sprout during the first book we read through in small group, Gospel-Centered Life. The thoughts I had about God and the relationship was now being addressed. I jokingly hated the book. And I made that known in small group because it pushed some very uncomfortable stuff around for me. Discussion on idols was one of them. I always saw idols as some object, something related to other religions. I didn't have golden statues in my house. But seeds were being planted and watered where I was with idols and which ones did I have in my life. What things in my life were getting in the way of drawing closer to Jesus? What things were causing me to sin? I distinctly remember the book pushing me to recognize what kind of relationship I had with Jesus. What I didn't know what was going to happen was that 2 books later and 1,000 discussions in between, what I was learning was beginning to take root. About a month ago, I was driving to work, and God brought it to my mind about listening to a sermon I had missed. And I was near tears when Pastor Mike was talking about the ones. I had filled out a form. My ones were my parents. And for him to realize his one was us, our church, our congregation. And I was like, hold up. I'm part of this church. I'm someone's one. How different am I from the ones? I'm not different. I am broken. I had believed lies about God. I sometimes questioned if he actually existed. I questioned his power, and that his power wasn't bigger than the sin that would cause people to do. God didn't have my life or thoughts I had. I'm a nobody. I'm one of billions of people in this world. Like, how am I important? I'm broken. And what was speaking to me was that we were all broken. I thought I was separate from brokenness as a Christian. I saw brokenness all around me as a social worker. Abused children, broken up families, people battling demons. I have been, over time, and very sad over the brokenness I was seeing around me, but again, still thought myself as separate. people who were putting their faith in what the world was telling them was right and not what God says is right. And that has been, for me, in the last 2 years, one of the biggest things. Like, somehow, God's telling me I need to speak truth into that, but I didn't know how. I have been conflicted about my role in people's lives who believe these worldly skewed beliefs. God has been very concretely during that sermon, showing me that I was broken too. A couple of weeks ago in small group, we were finishing up gospel fluency. And though our discussions, some things were becoming very clear. Jesus was pruning me right then and there, and it was uncomfortable. He was making me very aware of it, and I was fighting it internally. And Jesus spoke to me in a way that I had never experienced before in my life. In capitalized white letters in my mind were the words, "You don't trust me." And moments of my life were flashing through my mind, moments in the last 2 years, where I would be thinking, yeah, I trust God, on a superficial level. Because underneath that, I was thinking, yeah, but I still need to do X, Y, Z to make sure this happens. And he was taking that discussion that was happening in a small group, and he was pulling it out of me. In the moment, it became very clear the lies that I was believing, and it was very difficult to talk about. It was a vulnerability that I didn't experience before. But something else happened that night, something that I had not anticipated. I had no idea it was going to be a thing. An anger that I had felt for the last 3 years disappeared, and a sadness washed over me. I'm going to tell you a little bit about where that anger was coming from. So Andrew and I had been part of a church before for 11 years. We were very involved and very active. But towards the end, our time there got really ugly. A place where the vision was, where Christ is honored and people are loved, was falling apart. And Andrew and I had some experiences, some hurts that hurt so deep that I didn't even know could exist in a church. And God delivered us from there and brought us to two different congregations that showered us with love, compassion, that was so instrumental to us healing. And God showed me that brokenness is everywhere, including in a church, even with believers. And I left that night thinking, we are each other's ones, as we should be. Everyone we have exposure to should be our ones. And this is what Jesus has been unveiling to me. I could go on for hours on how God has been working in my life. I could have started today with, I wouldn't be here standing here before you had God not given Andrew a desire to love Reformed theology. Had God not spoken to Andrew to go to grad school in Rochester, New York, and specifically tell him, trust me, you will have your heart's desire, which was me, by the way. But he didn't know that. I would not have gone to Roberts, the college we were at, had I not gone to church at Pierce Memorial, which was a church that was connected to that school. And I wouldn't have gone to that church had I not been sitting next to my friend Amy Drew in seventh grade science class, looking at her notebook, and she had a brightly colored piece of paper in that, and I was a little OC and was like, did I miss something in class? Like, what do you have that I don't have? It was an invitation to youth group. And that is what started it. Wasn't because I was asked, because God prompted me to ask, but I didn't know that then. I could go on for hours about the various people that God has placed in my life at very crucial times that have kept me on his path. I wouldn't be here in Indiana had it not been for a very good friend named Beth who was getting me through some really troubling times with my family. Jesus did that. Jesus loves me so much that he never stopped pursuing me. It was in the Almighty's control the entire time, even when I didn't believe. And it was all for his good. Andrew and I have held on to the belief that something big is in store for us with the kiddos that come into our lives. There's a reason he has had us wait. There's a reason we have gone through what we have gone through. He has been part of his plan, even when I didn't believe. That Sunday, that small group, a couple Sundays ago, I felt this strong, I don't even know how to explain it. I wanted Jesus to have my whole heart. I had not been giving it to him. I didn't realize I hadn't been giving it to him, but that's all I could come away with, is I want him to have my whole heart. He wants my whole heart. I want my parents and my siblings to want Jesus, and for Jesus to have their whole heart too. I have not been obedient in speaking the gospel to others because God has shown me through reading and conversations in small group, it was because I hadn't bought into the gospel 100%. But Jesus is asking me to be an agent of change. He has been pushing me out of my comfort zone, asking me to do things that I have not felt comfortable doing before. Praying out loud, standing up here and speaking the truth of my life are just a couple of examples. Jesus desires to prune and mold me. And I desire to identify how God is working in this moment and not just something in the past tense. I am very incredibly thankful for Jesus being the hero of him of my life and for him loving on me. I am thankful for the people he has brought into my life that have been part of the pruning process, like small group. His story, though, is not over. His story through me is not over. He is still writing it. He is commanding me to be a follower and not just a believer. And he is showing me that there's a difference.
And also, for those of you who don't know, Wynette and I have met almost every week for the last 2 years talking about how we're going to do worship and what God is doing, how God is working in us. And we've shared a lot, and I have watched God work mightily through her. Wynette, a few weeks ago, you came into my study and you told me something about what God was doing in your life. Why don't you tell them?
I'd had a feeling that something was coming to an end, and I was going through my mind trying to figure it out. And it's like, is it the school year? I mean, I know that's coming to an end. No, that wasn't it. Is it my friend's life? She'll be going into hospice soon, but that wasn't it. Is it Paul? That wasn't it. It just felt like something was dying. Somebody was dying. There was a changing over. Something was ending. And it was me. I finally realized that God had finally gotten through to me. I take after my parents. I'm very strong-willed, stubborn. I had, like Katrina, I'd gotten my identity from all the other things, all the things that I could control. And I'd always, my whole life, I'd strived to do the right thing. I mean, I've been a Christian since I was 3, but I had defined my Christianity by, you know, obeying the law, doing what was expected of me, trying to meet expectations. And God kept messing with me and frustrating me. And I had been telling myself every time something like that would happen, I would say to him, why do you hate me? Because it felt like he hated me. And I knew up here that he loved me, but I didn't feel it. And then, for some strange reason, God called me to lead a small group this past year, which I am not. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not gifted like Jamie with like a gift of hospitality. Just the house is always ready and it's beautiful and it seems so effortless.
Can everyone
if you know me,
look at my eye roll at this point?
If you know me, you know that's not my gift. But for some strange reason, And I brought it up when we were meeting together. He was talking about, well, he thought maybe another small group, and I had had this stirring, this really uncomfortable, you're supposed to do it. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just going to keep going to his because it's good. I like it. It's strong. And then he was like, well, we need to pray about God having somebody else lead a small group because we want it to grow. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm supposed to do it. Good. And he went for it. He didn't say, like, are you kidding me? I know you too well. This is not something God has for you. And he said, ask the Liples. I'm like, okay. That was random. So I did. And they said yes to join my small group. Okay. And then God used Beth. So I was sharing one night how I knew up here God loved me. But it wasn't getting to my heart. And then, you know, against Beth's nature, God told her to read a passage of scripture to me, and it just hit me. Just, okay, can you read it? Because I can't.
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
And that, I had been sharing my story, that was my life. My parents brought me up in the church. I'd gone to Christian school since I was 3, I think. I'd never gone to a public school. And I was wondering, you know, like, why did God do all this? And I am who I am. And I'm nobody. And I don't please him any more than anybody else. And just hearing that it was for a reason. He had planted all of this in me for a reason. And another thing I have struggled with my whole life is self-hatred and comparing myself to other people. I'm never good enough. I always compare my worst to somebody else's best. And I've done that. And my mother would say, don't compare yourself to other people. Well, you can hear that. You can know up here you're not supposed to, but here. And then to feel solidly in my heart, God made me the way I am because that's what he wanted me to be. He made me for a reason, and he loves me just the way I am. And since realizing that, my love for other people has been freed up. God has been, you know, he put it in me, and he wants me to share it with other people. Yeah, I've lost my train of thought now.
God does love you the way you are. But he hasn't left you where you are. No. Not at all, has he? What's a way that you've been growing in love with Jesus?
Well, humility has been one thing. And it seems, you know, I hold on to the way I want things to be. And he's shown me that that my satisfaction will never be found in anything that I have set up for myself, any of my own expectations. And when he finally manages to get something out of my hand, then I know, then I find out that he is enough. That's the only place I will ever be satisfied is in him. And I think I could have fooled myself for the rest of my life if everything had gone my way. That I could have kept believing that I could be happy and I didn't really need him as desperately as I do now. The humility part is that I'm last to figure things out with like that. My pride likes to stay put. I was realizing the marriage relationship is the last, you know, last frontier. Yeah. It's the hardest. It's the hardest to give it up in that. So, I love you, honey. Please forgive my pride.
What do you want the people of this congregation to know about Jesus and about what he's done in your life?
He He's worth everything. You can trust him. That's the hugest thing. The whole relying on myself and relying on what I could do. It had taken me pretty far, but you can only go so far relying on yourself. And he's enough. He's strong, and he will always, always catch you and be there. And he's worthy of everything, anything he asks of you.
Yeah.
He's worthy.
Yeah. Lynette, is God satisfied in you for any other reason except for Jesus?
No.
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 No. Is there anything else that you want to tell these people today?
God loves you that much too.
Yeah.
And he's got a plan, and he will redeem all of the junk that you think is irredeemable.
Yeah.
He's got a plan.
Yep. Thanks, Lynette. Thank you, Lynette. Hey.